This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Just about 6:42, and you're with Lynn and Kelvin. It is, of course, the 9th of December, which is International Anti-Corruption Day. So we are going to be continuing this conversation about corruption, but specifically, like we said, about salaries and whether or not it might have anything to do, really, with participating in corruption.
Yep. So the idea of this is that paying people higher salaries would mean less corruption. You know, according to that rationale, it means that, you know, if you had more money, you wouldn't resort or you wouldn't be tempted to engage in bribery or other kinds of corruption, right? But there are several questions here, whether or not that's actually true. And in certain cases, you know, how much pay would dictate that temptation? Would it reduce it, and would it increase the temptation to just, you know, engage in that activity?
Yeah. I think this is one of those statements where on the surface of it the answer seems obvious, but once you start diving deeper into it, it gets a lot more complicated. Because obviously you would think that if you earned more money, you'd be less likely to engage in corruption.
Yeah, because you don't need it, right? If you have a pretty okay life.
Yeah, but we all also know that no money is ever enough. Mm. That's just a fact of existence. You know, there is a reason why. There is a reason why, even free of corruption, we continue to want to earn more money, you know, on a very basic level. Even though you might be considered comfortable, even though you might even be rich by some standards, you're still going to want more. There is never really that sort of limit. So, so I'm not certain whether this is one of those one follows the other kind of logical statements.
Yeah, you know, and if we look at the cases currently happening in Malaysia right now, you know, we see 1MDB and all that, you see public officials sometimes engaging in it. And if, let's say, against Najib Razak, right, you know, his salary as prime minister was close to his annual salary, rather, it was close to the 500,000 ringgit mark. Mm. You would think that that is very comfortable, and that is a lot more than what our regular Malaysian earns already. So, you know, what is it about it that you need so much of?
Yeah, but speaking of that, I mean, our MPs, our ministers, our senators now earn a pretty healthy living, no?
Yeah, it's about 16,000 ringgit. It's the monthly salary of an MP. And this is, of course, not including some of the allowances they have, right? You know, if they attend parliament sittings, they get an allowance of 200 ringgit. And if they have meetings with the government agencies, there's a 150 ringgit allowance there too. So there is a lot going on for them. And I think the second part of it is, you know, you pay peanuts, you get monkeys, right? That's the common argument as to why we want that high pay for civil servants. But, you know, how much is too much, right? When you look at the average wage that Malaysian is getting and perhaps might not even be engaging in any sort of corruption.
So, yeah, we're talking about the relationship between salaries and corruption in light of International Anti-Corruption Day. If you've got thoughts, weigh in. Also, let us know whether you think that corruption is still a big problem here in our country. How would you like to see it addressed? Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:47 in the evening with Lynn and Kelvin, and it is International Anti-Corruption Day today. And in light of that, we've been talking about how corruption interferes with our ability to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals. And now we're talking about salaries and whether or not that can perhaps make it less likely that people are going to engage in acts of corruption. Now, we don't know for sure whether it one way or the other is truer, but we also want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this? You can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. On the line with us now, Alex Tan, Forensics and Risk Leader at PwC Malaysia. Alex, thank you so much for joining us. Based on past studies, what have we found about the relationship between salaries and corruption?
Well, interestingly, common sense would dictate that, you know, if you pay higher salaries, then the incidence of corruption should fall. But if you look at a study that was done in Ghana in 2010, they had a problem in Ghana in West Africa, where along the highways where a lot of trucks were traveling, police officers were putting up roadblocks and demanding money from truck drivers. And this was impeding a whole load of issues, including commerce. It made a lot of people upset, etc. So in 2010, the Ghana government overnight doubled the salaries of the police officers. which for the police seemed very good, probably didn't make a lot of teachers, et cetera, very happy, to try and curb corruption. And what did they find? So they went back and looked at the data about 3 or 4 years later, and they discovered that the incidence of trucks that went through without being stopped had risen from 10 to 20%. Okay, that's good. They hadn't been stopped at various roadblocks. But those trucks that were stopped, the value of the corruption, i.e. the amount they had to pay, had increased by 25%. So while the police salaries had gone up, the corrupt payment they were soliciting had gone up by 25%. And they looked into this, and there were a number of factors for this. If you're getting a corrupt payment and that's 10% of your salary, if your salary goes up, then obviously 10% is 10% of a higher number. Secondly, there was an expectation from themselves, family, friends, that now that they've had increase in salary, their lifestyle had to be commensurately increased as well. So that was a very interesting finding that nobody really expected. But if you look at other countries, you know, maybe closer to Malaysia, if you look at Hong Kong and ICAC, when ICAC came into being, I think about 1974, 75, somewhere around there, you know, one of the things they identified was around salaries and low salaries for police officers. So salary increases happened over a number of years in Hong Kong, in some cases, you know, 15, 20% increases in salaries in the 80s and 90s. Now, corruption in the police in Hong Kong is very, very low. It's not eradicated, but it's very, very low. So that's on the other end of the scale, where one of the and it's only a tool out of many to help fight corruption is raising the public sector, and in particular, say, the police salaries.
So what determines whether or not raising salaries can actually be part of the solution in reducing corruption?
Well, I mean, let's just take the Hong Kong example. You can even look at Singapore, where Singapore, you know, the public sector, you know, and ministers have extremely high salaries. You know, salary level is, and a well-paid public sector is one issue. Enforcement and enforcement of the laws are. I can't think of any country where corruption is legal. Right, so all countries, as far as I'm aware, corruption is illegal. So it's the enforcement of that, and being seen, enforcement being seen to take place, and commensurate penalties in terms of high jail sentence, big fines, etc. There's also empowering the public to report corruption. I remember I grew up in Hong Kong. I remember in the 70s and early 80s. You know, there being lots of publicity, education to the public. If you see money being paid over, please report it, etc. And having institutions, enforcement institutions that the public trusts and are willing to report it and willing to go to court and testify about it. And then there's the broader issue around culture, not culture, should we say behaviours across society as well.
So we've certainly also come across many instances where an individual who's already very rich engages in corruption. Could you tell us more about, you know, really the psychology behind that?
Okay. I mean, you could look at, I mean, it's typically known as the fraud triangle, but you can look at three things. You know, why do people commit fraud? Why do people commit corruption? So one is there's an opportunity. Okay, there's an opportunity presents itself, which you take advantage of. The second thing is, around your motivation. You know, I need money because I need to keep up a lifestyle. I have children at private school, whatever it may be. Third thing is, how do you rationalize to yourself? So, you know, people see opportunities every day, and, you know, people have good motivation in terms of, or strong motivation in terms of trying to enrich themselves, hence we all save, et cetera. So how do you rationalize this illegal act? So that's the third point, is how you rationalize to yourself. Maybe, well, everyone else is doing it, so why shouldn't I? I won't get caught. I deserve a pay rise, etc. And yeah, there's a famous case in New Zealand with a CEO of Auckland City. You know, felt he deserved more money than what he was being paid. He was being paid a lot of money and engaged in fraudulent acts. And we see it, you know, around the world where world leaders, who get paid well, they get a lot of high status, but they still commit acts of corruption. And we've seen it also in business as well. So sometimes people, no matter how much they've got, the lure of money may make them act in ways they shouldn't. But also, you know, just because people on the face of it appear to be wealthy, you know, some of them, when you look behind it, they don't have much or they're heavily in debt. I was reading a book and they had a phrase for it, which was big cat, no cattle, which I think sums it up well.
Do you see low wages as part of the problem that contributes to corruption in Malaysia?
I mean, you know, low salaries is one of the issues, but there's a whole raft of issues, which I know the government's working hard to address. You know, one of it, as I mentioned before, is enforcement. And I know, you know, the MACC is being very rigorous around enforcement. I know, you know, the MACC leadership are out there educating. And what will be interesting is to see how the Section 17A, the corporate liability provisions, which are coming into force in 1 June, how that will also help in the fight against corruption in Malaysia.
Alex, one last question before you go. Does the discrepancy in wages between the public and private sector add to this problem in any way?
Yeah, this is a global issue. I mean, maybe less so in a country like Singapore, who pay their public servants and especially their ministers extremely highly. But I think, you know, anywhere you go in the world, you're going to see a discrepancy between what the private sector get paid and what the public sector get paid. And the public sector salaries throughout the world are generally lower than the private sector. Even at the top level, where you think that somebody who's the head of a government department, you may say, wow, they get paid a lot of money, but the equivalent head in the private sector would get several times that salary. So I think most countries would wish they could pay the public sector the commercial salaries, but you know that would mean everyone else probably paying a large amount of tax.
Alex, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Alex Tan, forensics and risk leader at PwC Malaysia, weighing in on the idea of whether higher salaries would actually impact somebody's propensity, I guess, to engage in acts of corruption, somebody being corrupt, really. So do you agree? Do you disagree? How would you like to see corruption being addressed in our country in conjunction with this being International Anti-Corruption Day? Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
We have this message here from Lisa that says, corruption is still very prevalent. There seems to be no shame in it here. So sad for Malaysia. We could be so much more if there was no corruption.
Yeah, certainly we could be so much more. I think that's why I wanted to hone in on the SDGs, on the Sustainable Development Goals, because it just feels as if at some point you are going to have to face up to the realities of what we can or can't do, and the realities of where there is potential for corruption and how to address that. Because if not, we're always just going to be stuck in the same old thing of thinking, the minute you see that, you know that there's corruption involved, you just know it. The fact that we say that so casually, I think, is in and of itself symptomatic of a problem.
Yeah, exactly. And we have this next message here from Jason that says, untrue about higher salary leading to reduction of corruption. The law of diminishing utility would disapprove that.
Yep, exactly so. And then we also have this message here from Subra, who says, corruption is insidious for the country, government, companies, political parties, families and individual. Corruption is the cause and result of the black economy. It undermines good governance. It causes inflation.
And I think that's also quite a bit to take away from that, right? Because if we do want to get serious about it, enforcement is one thing, but it's also going to take a huge cultural change. Because if we think about it, Malaysians in general, you know, we see that every day and we sort of say, well, I guess that's just part of business. That's just part of day to day. And we have to remember that the civil servants and those working in the corporate sector, they're all also, you know, the average Malaysian, right? So if they do see that, do they respond? Do they say something about it? Or do they, just as the rest of us do, well, that's just part of business. And I think that there is a need to change that on a wider scale.
We also have this from Adi who says, Allah, easy test. How many of us, when Kena Saman say thank you to the police and accept the summon? All who scream of integrity when test pandai cakap saja. Bigger salary attracts bigger integrity tests. And I just wanted to end on that point before we go to the news, because let us know, do you agree with what Adi had to say? I mean, is it true that, like, most of us, when our integrity is tested, will cave in and take the easy option in our own personal capacity, especially when it's something like this? Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.